All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
It won't fucking start. Oh, I got it.
It won't fucking start. We'll do it live.
We'll do it. Fuck's sake.
Fuck it. We'll do it live.
The teleprompter is broken.
It's broken. Do it live.
Fuck it. We'll do it live.
Fuck it. Fuck it. Love that. They absolutely nailed it on Family Guy, though, didn't they? Literally. It's a carbon copy.
It's very nice.
Great success. So, Andy, how are you?
I have just... At the time of recording, I've just got back from a lovely long weekend in Norfolk.
Lovely.
Today was my first day back at work. So, how do you think I'm doing?
Nearly as good as me.
All day I've just been like, oh, why? You know, the holiday blues.
Yeah, well, I'm getting that pre-holiday feeling.
Yeah, you haven't even gone away yet. And are you like, oh, well, could it just hurry up already?
Yeah, well, I keep going into meetings and, like, trying to do my work as well as being dragged into meetings. And some of these meetings are about stuff that when I'm away and I'm like, oh, I just switch off. And they're like, then they like talk about things that are happening when I'm here. And I'm like, oh, come on, man. Like, what are you doing? So it's a little bit shit, but hey-ho, we are getting through it. We only work to get paid and we don't live to work.
Hey, listen, we're not here to talk about work either.
No, we're not.
No.
We are not.
No, we are not.
We live for the podcast.
Yeah.
For democracy.
Runs through my brains. My veins. My blinds.
If you cut me, friendly would come out.
So we got hang on. I've just thought of something.
Okay.
This is an interview episode.
Yeah.
This is our first interview this year, right?
This is?
We are 2 months in, and this is our first interview.
This is true.
At the end of this last year, you said you were going to step up the interviews. What the fuck? You've been slacking.
Well, I have been putting out feelers.
That's it.
In my head, that didn't go as well. There was a lot of like bad things happening in that sentence, and I froze. Oh, a lot of Beast Man popped in my head. There was a lot of other things.
God's sake. So, yeah, I guess we've put out the feelers to a lot of people. And our first one that we got booked in was Geek FPS, who we're super excited to interview today.
That's how excited we are. We can't get it out.
I need to call my words in half.
Booyah! Bazinga!
Pretty sure that's copyright. Can't use that.
Okay, bye boy. Oh, no.
Pretty sure that's racist. Can't use that.
Racist. Bye boy, a racist.
Oh, that's it. Say it again, Dave. Yep.
How?
Say it again. Racist, isn't it?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Who's it? Who is it not racist against then?
Who is it racist to?
Hey, listen. I'm not going to have this conversation with you on the intro of a podcast. All right.
Do you not want Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Oh, I miss Brooklyn Nine-Nine, man.
Oh, man. I saw Raymond Holt in another program, and it just wasn't the
same. It's not right, is it?
No, it's just not right.
Anyway, we could talk about fucking...
We digress.
Yeah, we could talk about Nine-Nine for the Nine-Nine for ages.
Nine-Nine!
But we can't. We need to sneak a plug in and get the episode started with Geek.
So you guys, you can catch us on These Nerds and also Spotify, Audible, and all the great podcast platforms. But just remember, you guys on YouTube, we're coming out a little bit later and a couple of weeks behind. It just takes a little bit more time with the episodes for YouTube. But you guys, we put it out. All the content is out there for you to get.
I got us up to speed today with YouTube.
Oh, nice.
They're all uploaded. That's a lie.
You should have put that in an announcement. You should have put that in announcements. That's a milestone.
Yeah. I think I've uploaded like up to 67, I think. I don't know. Hey, Listen, hey, what are you? Hey, I'm walking here.
I'm fucking walking here.
You think you're better than me?
Oh, have you seen the guy that does that in America? Like some English guys, like in America. And he's like, I'm fucking walking here. He's like, we don't fucking speak like that, you prick. I think you know who you literally sound like. The problem with social media and them videos is they actually, you don't know which ones are true and which one is fake.
Like, okay, you're only just figuring that out?
Well, it's so hard to determine because there was one about a person.
Fake.
It's like, you were here to meet an 11-year-old girl. It's fake. She said she was 12. That is fucking fake.
Just assume everything's fake. That's the easiest, safest way to do it.
Fake news.
And then you go, huh, and then scroll past it.
That's fake news.
Fake news. Okay, fake news. Anyway, we should crack on.
We should.
So, welcome everybody to today's episode. Not sure what episode number it is because I haven't checked my little sheet, but this one is with Geek FPS.
And I have got a name for it.
Oh, go on. Getting geeky.
I was talking more about the squads. I was going to say squabble or squaddle. You either squabble in a squad, you know, you don't know when you argue.
Yeah.
The squaddle.
Right. Maybe we'll have a chat.
No, we will not. That will go in. And you will put a picture of Squirtle there as well with his glasses on.
Okay. And intro. I'm just going to sit and record him, wait for him to join, I guess.
Yeah, he'll be on time. He's bloody German, isn't he?
You can't say bloody German. Right, Geek is still playing V++.
He'll be just on time, trust me. Like, let me hear you, fuck.
Should we try and find him in V++ and then say, oi.
I'm going to go to the toilet. Let's see if we can. Try and join his game.
I will.
Have you gone in?
No, his server's full.
Ah, kurva. Oh, hello.
Am I early?
Just on time.
Oh, as always, you know, as we Germans are known for.
Oh, that's good. Right. How you doing? And I'm Dave, obviously, and this is Andy.
Hi, Andy. Hi, Dave.
I'm Geek.
Hello, Geek.
Thank you very much for accepting our invitation.
Yes. Thank you for inviting me. This is, I think, what I should say as well. So I was old F4ing DayZ, and as DayZ wanted to be, it made half my PC crash.
How are you getting on? Were you winning?
I was doing some V++. Yeah, warming up for the podcast.
Get your rage ready. That's what it is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm ready, you know, all loaded up.
Well, if you're ready, we should get started.
I'm ready.
Dave?
Fuck it, let's do it live.
Fuck's sake.
Are you going live, guys?
No. I showed Andy a meme of that Family Guy and then that American guy kicking off about the teleprompter. And he's like, fuck it, I'll do it live.
Don't watch Family Guy.
What?
Yeah. That's it. Let's end this interview now. It's been a pleasure.
I did. I'm wrongly worded. Cut that out. No, I did watch a few episodes when I was young, but I didn't watch pretty much most of it.
Hang on a minute. I need to roll back a little bit. When you were young, Geek.
So, kinder, you know, when I was young and I was still watching TV. We have a TV at home. I don't think I've touched it in a few years. When I was young, I would watch, I think, South Park, Family Guy. Yeah. Well, they had the TV programs there that would come in the evenings.
You're like early 20s though, aren't you?
22.
Yeah, fuck.
Oh, man.
That's what I'm saying. When you were young, fuck off. You've got another 10 years of being young.
Yeah, we've got like 12 years on you.
Oh, man.
We're old boys.
Old timers.
Oh, yeah, old timers. Dave's got really saggy balls and I'm going a bit grey.
Oh, my God. You can send me a picture after.
Send your picture now.
Okay. Put on the live stream. Show it.
Oh, dude. So yeah, let's talk a little bit about you, Geek, and where you come from, how your shoe size and all that kind of stuff. So,
and what you like on your pizza.
Yeah. Actually,
all right, go on then.
What's your favorite pizza? Let's start off with the icebreaker.
Oh, you guys are going to hate me for it, but I only like, I basically only pepperoni pizza.
Oh.
And not wrong with that.
Yeah, what's wrong with
that? It's just so default. People always tell me, oh, put something else on your pizza. I'm like, no, I like cheese and pepperoni. I'm going to put it on there. I don't need anything else.
You know what you like, man. You know what you like. It's not sick. It's
you
normal.
Know. It's just default pizza, you know?
Yeah. I don't see what the problem is with that, to be fair. I mean, I wouldn't only eat that, but...
No, I mean, the guy likes what he likes.
Yeah. I do also like, it's barbecue sauce and chicken. I don't know if you guys have that over there.
Yeah, we do have Domino's do a good one of them.
Yeah, exactly. When I'm like real hungry, that's the way to go. But if I'm in an Italian restaurant, I'll always get a pepperoni pizza.
Ah, nice. So, Geek, what got you into playing DayZ?
I was a PlayStation player on PlayStation 3. I was playing Call of Duty. And back in the day, from my sister, her ex-boyfriend showed me a survival game on a PC. It was DayZ. God knows how long that was ago, 2014 or something. It looked so interesting to me that 2 years later, when I finally did get a PC that would... kind of run DayZ. I had to put the game into window mode. Basically my sister's ex-boyfriend showed me the game. I've then watched YouTube videos about it because I was interested, but I couldn't play because I didn't have a PC. I think the first creator I watched was Miner, and then that's when I realized, yo, this game is really fucking cool. And I couldn't wait to finally play it.
That's mad. Do you know how many people genuinely would say Minder is one of their first YouTubers? Do you know what I mean? Like, Minder has actually just... he's got a whole generation of people captivated,
yes,
hasn't he?
Yes.
I think he's on mine and Andy's list of first watch, isn't he, Andy?
Yeah. He definitely was the first content creator that piqued my interest for it. It was just... and that was back in... oh shit, I can't even think when. It was before it came to console anyway. So what we're talking about, early 2018, I reckon. So yeah. Really, not actually, how long ago was that? What year are we in? 24.
Yeah, we've been some time now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's people that have been playing for a hell of a lot longer than we have. But yeah, Minder was definitely on the top of the list at that point. So he comes up on all the algorithms and shit like that. Watch all the content and you go, fuck me, I'm getting this game.
Yeah, even back then, what was so fascinating was that I think the first videos of him I watched was Brothers of DayZ, and he had that cinematic intro with the nice music, and I basically kind of started watching the videos only for the intro and the music because I found it so cool. Mm. And then YouTube started recommending me more videos. And then what really then pushed me to wanting to play this game and then also getting it was I got a smaller YouTuber back then. He was quite small. Recommended to me, JCon72. Mm-hmm. And I started watching his entire channel, man. I know every video. I would probably watch it 2 or 3 times. And that was the kick then for me to, I have to get this game and I have to play like him.
There was no other game that really... I don't think I'd ever seen a YouTube video about a game like that before, where they could be scripted into... not scripted as such, but you know what I mean? Molded into stories and shit like that. You don't really get that before then, did you, really? You don't really see gaming videos
exactly.
You do with DayZ. It's strange phenomenon, isn't it?
Even back then, when I was... because I was playing on PlayStation, I was quite new to gaming, and I was told, yo, there's this survival game on PC, open world, where you fight zombies and other players. And I'm like, what? That sounds so cool, you know? And I was just playing Call of Duty on the PlayStation all day. I was a bit small, you know? And it was so beyond my understanding. What an open world game with zombies, you know? Sounds so sick. And yeah, I started watching the YouTube videos. And then here we are, 10 years later.
Your YouTube's doing really well. You know, you got 14.1K subscribers. With an all-time high of an 80K views video, like 3 years ago. That's bloody good going, isn't it?
I think that's correct. I'm going to believe you on that.
Yeah.
Of course it's correct. We're professional boys, Geek.
We've always got the facts here.
The regular listeners will know that we never get anything right. So,
yeah.
But this time, we actually did some research.
Yeah, we actually done a little bit. We put our A game into this, like, to this interview.
Knows more about me than my own channel to double check if it is 80k on the max on the max video. But yeah, I have a quite the healthy, I would say, YouTube channel. It has its ups and downs, but it's mainly going straight forward.
Yeah, do some good storytelling, some like really good like editing and content creating on YouTube, like, which is obviously paying off really well if you've got a video that's got like 80k views.
I mean, what was that, 3 years ago, looting route. Well, it probably will sound really weird from 3 years ago, but I don't know. It's all these older videos, they get the views. It's also the same with the 100 sub special that I don't even know how I got almost 70k views. It's just a bunch of clips thrown into each other.
Just hit them algorithms, baby, or like people come to you to watch the PvP.
Hey, that's me. I'm the PvP.
So you're definitely more... your stories are on YouTube, they're way more structured than they have used to be. I guess, well, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to lie. I've only really known about you as a YouTube content creator for maybe about a year though. Whereas recently let's put your PvP to the side for a moment, because your PvP is phenomenal compared to at least how Dave and I play DayZ. We can't hit the shots that you fucking hit, so you're absolutely incredible. But you somehow you're one of those few creators that can take that intense PvP situation and turn it into a story for your YouTube as well. How do you do that, I guess? What's your personal journey on making those videos?
Well, I've been doing those exact type of videos since, oh my God, 2019?
Yeah.
Roughly 4 years. And it's just, if you watch my very first videos, you'll see how shitly I was editing. It was horrendous. And the music was off. The cuts were too long, you know. I included boring parts. And you get a feeling over time, with the more you edit, what do your viewers want to really see? What am I interested in? You're obviously going to compare yourself to other creators in the PvP scheme as well. For example, Toprak, or Jaycon72. I watched lots of his videos. So I started to adapt. When would they make a cut? Would they leave me bandaging here, or would they cut that part out? And you're just trying to get this nice flow in the PvP moment. What do I really need? What is important? Do the viewers really need to see me do the flank here, or is it a quick cut possible and just straight to the action? And just something that comes over time that you need to play around and see what fits best.
So, like, moving on from like yourself and like how you got into DayZ and that, we want to talk into like squad play. I watch a lot of YouTube, and I do watch a lot of live streams. I have Taupe on a lot of the time in the background, as well as yourself. But I think it's completely unfair when you and Taupe get together, because no one else stands a fucking chance. You two, you got this fucking epic flick shot. You don't even need a scope on a fucking Tundra. You just hit the shot straight away.
I mean, yes, okay. Taupe and I do have, because I've also been watching Taupe since before I had DayZ, we do have a quite similar play style. So I always have in the back of my head, I know kind of where Taupe is. You know, I have like this 3D part, you have to imagine, of me always thinking, where is my teammate? Sometimes it goes wrong. And so it does make for a really strong duo and a strong squad. But as DayZ is, if you watch the last, like I said, like live stream that we've done, you know, in the beginning, we kind of got railed, you know, fully geared, getting killed. It's just DayZ. You get unlucky, you get caught in open fields, you get caught AFK, you know, you get a broken leg. It's just so many factors where you can say, yo, this is a really strong duo, but they're not untouchable, because DayZ is always going to balance itself out. You can be the best player and the weakest player can still get a kill on you if you're not aware of it.
Yeah, so what would you say would make a good, like, squad? Like, what would you say would make a good squad? Is it good communication? Is it having that, like, sort of mindset the same as people in your squad? Or do you think you have to have, like, different types of people in your squad?
No, so I think number one is communication. You can put me with a really newer player. He just needs to know the basics. And then the whole gunfight will play out differently. I will maybe use him in some situations. I will try to tell him to where he should go and set it up. So communication, always telling and, you know, making the call outs for your teammates to know what's going on, what's going to happen. You know, for example, I'm pinned down behind a rock. I'll tell my teammates, peek them now. They start shooting them. Then I can re-peek and so on, is the absolute key factor to win in a squad fight. If everybody is talking, then shit's just not going to work out. So you need straight communications, and that's just the key to winning a squad.
Right, Dave, we got to make our what are we, what I was going to call him, our crew then. What do we call him? Our squad.
Well, he could be our leader.
Yeah, we can't tell our squad to listen to this episode, because this is what we do. We do comms, which is great, and we have good communication. The problem that we have, it's not always straight communication. So it's not clear and concise, you know what I mean? I think that is a real big turning point to how a squad is effective with their communication. It's about keeping it clear, isn't it, really?
It's also not only that. Of course, clear comms and not everybody yapping, topping over each other is going to help in a PvP situation, but it's a role set up within the squad. So, for example, you need somebody, and you can adapt it from other games. I'm going to take Apex Legends or CS, for example, with their pro players. You need somebody in the squad for it to work out that tells to rules kind of the squad to keep everybody together and in place and not have everybody do whatever they want in the PvP situation. I'm trying to move my teammates around in a way that they will help me out and I can play on them, basically. You know, I know where my teammates are located. I tell them to flank from the right while I'm doing a flank on the left and so on. So you need a role in the squad that tells, kind of organizes the PvP situation. Otherwise, people are just going to run around cluelessly with your squad and get taken out one by one. So I try to minimize that we get taken out one by one and rather always play in a team.
How do you do that? Do you like arrange that beforehand, or is that something that just comes naturally, or you can, right, you're doing this, you're doing that, and how do you do that?
It comes, in our group at least, it comes naturally within the gunfight. I'm not always, most of the time, telling them what to do. If one of my teammates is very confident, they will start telling, yo, Geek, go that way, play guy, do this, and so on. And so whoever is most confident in the situation right now or has the clearest overview is going to start giving the team, is going to tell the team what's going to happen.
Well, I've noticed, obviously, you play in larger squads, so I saw you streaming on Saturday on Alteria with Play Guy and two other people that the names just are not in my mouth at the moment. But how do you get control of large, like being in a larger squad? Because you guys were just flawless. The comms was flawless, especially when you're on the airfield. Is it like you're in the zone? You guys know that you're in a PvP area and you just know that you need to like hone everything down. Is it like a second nature thing, or is it taking a long time for you to build that rapport up?
It's definitely taken a long time, and I've had a few people that I've played with in the past 4 years, and it's always been the same. In the beginning, everybody's gonna start yapping over, but with time, you're gonna kind of form this nice bubble of team play where everybody knows that, okay, we're in a PvP situation now. Yeah, we know useless information. We're going straight forward for only what we need to say, and rarely I need to tell anybody, guys, please keep it quiet, because once we are in a PvP situation, or once somebody says, oh, I see a guy, Discord is gonna stay quiet, and only what needs to be said is gonna get is gonna be said.
Oh. Making me so jealous.
Yeah.
Because Dave and I do this. Dave and I, when we're playing as a duo, that's how we play. But our squad doesn't always do that. We'll be in the middle of a PvP situation and one of the guys will be like, there's dropped paper here. Okay. We don't give a fuck. Where's the guy with the sniper on the hill? I don't care if there's dropped paper in a barrack. Like, I don't give a... No, I don't want a field jacket. Fuck off.
Yeah, so me and Andy have got some like long hours in together, probably a bit like you and Play Guy. You've got some like long hours like in a squad together, so it sort of becomes second nature to you what you do. But then sometimes when the person that drops into your squad hasn't got as much rapport or long standing with you, it sometimes can be like hard, and we don't lose our frustrations with them, but it does get like frustrating.
Exactly.
You ever find that?
Yes, of course. I can assure you, man, the amount of times we can talk all evening about this topic. That's how many stories I have. It's true. You are always going to adapt to a teammate over time. So I'm going to adapt to Play a Guy and he's going to adapt to my play style. So the more you play with them, the more you're going to grow together and know what to do. But when somebody random then joins that has a completely different play style, and in the past that has happened, people that are a lot slower and they were always lagging behind while we were already, you know, 500 meters ahead at the next sets of houses. You just have to try, if you notice that, and get a pace into it and be like, come on, you're looting the house so long. Stick with us, you know, tell them just stick on my ass and gotta be a bit... I'm trying to find the right word. Like I said, then you gotta have that leading position a bit and tell them, you know, you're slow, stick to us, you know, and that type of stuff. And with time, the person is gonna get better in PvP. The person is gonna adapt to your pace and you're gonna form a great team eventually. It just takes a bit.
One thing I have admired, though, and I do admire it from everyone that streams Daisy and plays in squads, especially the guys from the mainland Europe, is you are German, obviously, and you play with other Germans as well as people from other countries, but your English is absolutely flawless and you're able to hold, like, you play in English, don't you? You stream in English. So it's just so... To know English as well as you know German, it's just mad. And like, not to mix up your words and stuff. Obviously, it's going to happen every now and then, but you never do it when you're on stream.
I mean, when I switched to PC finally and bought the game, I found a group quite early that was, none of them were German. All of them were from different regions. One was from Netherlands, one was from Norway, one was from Denmark. So they were always speaking English. And I had some English knowledge from school. So you can kind of imagine how bad my English was from just the school English. And they've still accepted me into the group, even though I really barely spoke any English. And playing DayZ every day when I was quite young, you know, as younger people do, they play for 6 hours, 8 hours a day, every day with that group, talking English, you know, trying to understand what they mean. And then outside of DayZ, I would also watch English YouTube videos. It just, over the years, it just, that's how I learned the language, just via playing and watching YouTube videos in English.
Bloody hell.
That is, oh, mate, I've tried learning specifically Italian. I say quite a few times. I've been on and off over the years. I just find it so difficult. And you can just fucking pick up a game and start learning. That's mad.
Top comms in a language that's not even your first language. Have you ever played with Doc Dreist?
No, I've never played with him. Imagine, I know him, obviously.
Yeah, and if you've done a stream with Doc Dreist and you've done it in German, because sometimes he does it in German, and if you've got top comms in English, let alone what it'd be like in your native tongue.
That might be not as easy as you think it is. All my DayZ callouts are English. So what would end up happening is I'm in my head trying to translate my English callout into German.
Yeah.
And things would get quite stuttery. And as it happened, I do team up with German streamers occasionally. Jay Quotenroser, for example, is a German streamer. I then usually don't stream. But I do feel like I'm trying to give a callout here. What is the German word for it? And yeah, I'll start, like, this is my mother tongue and I cannot think of the correct translation, because when I'm speaking English, everything in German shuts off.
German language itself, if we'll explain to like the viewers, that German language itself is hard. So like in English, ambulance is ambulance.
I knew you were gonna bring this example up.
In Italian, like Andy, is an ambulance, and then this one is the Krankenwagen. That is not even close. Not even close.
It's German might sound tough, but what Krankenwagen ends up actually meaning is like, how do I kind of translate it? Word for we mean, krank can kind of that means like sick person, and Wagen means vehicle. So we just say sick vehicle, you know, or vehicle for the sick, if I want to kind of translate it like that. That's why we don't call it really ambulance. But it is definitely a very annoying language to learn. I definitely agree on that.
Yeah, I work with Germans. I work on, we would call them tanks, you would call them panzers, you know what I mean? So it's trying to get that with that talk when they try to explain things to me, because some of them, their English isn't great and my German is non-existent. So it's actually quite hard because the words are not similar, like some of the languages that go with English. They're not similar. So that's why we, like me and Andy said, we completely admire that you stream in a language that's not your mother tongue, and your comms is like spot on.
I mean, just when I was, you know, I was watching Minor Toprak JCon before I had Daisy, I was barely speaking much English, and I've always watched all my YouTube videos in English. I've started learning their call outs in English. You know, I was watching here as a German and they were calling stuff out, and most of the time I wouldn't understand, but with time you just know certain words that, you know, and this is just how it builds up. And then you also start playing every day with people that never speak German. You're just eventually going to learn the language. It's just natural.
Like muscle memory, I guess. And if you're trying to say like double red, you're not really thinking of, oh, it's two stories and the color of it is red. It's just that is the name of that building, double red, you know.
Exactly.
And having to translate that. I get it.
That comes with time. I always in the past used the, oh, nice voice crack, used the mustache house.
Keeping that.
And only then, like 2 years ago, I then figured out it's called mustache house because the small wooden triangle above the door looks like a mustache.
Yeah. Well, look, all these new, you see now in Alteria, all these new buildings that are popping up and stuff. Especially I saw you in that multi-story building at the weekend, and just before the restart, pushed you. They're going to go down in hell. The people that push you just before restart, they're going down in hell. Like people at Camp ATC and the guys that push you just before restart, they're satanic people.
I fucking love you, man. The people at Camp ATC are... Oh, man, they are very bad words, you know.
Yes, I agree with every word you said.
What Dave's not telling you is that it was him, right?
No,
interesting.
I was watching your stream and I didn't know what server you're on, and I died. And I was then back in the coast. And then as I saw you pushing, you waited outside the ACC for a long time. You went in and I saw my lovely body and I was like, oh, he's in the same server. And then I clicked off. I was like, damn.
At least we can agree that on those servers, the ATC campers, they are always there, man.
They hoover up all the loot on the airfield and take it to one location. And it's one of the hardest buildings to push.
I'm telling you, the ATC is the hardest building in Daisy to push. There's nothing worse than the ATC, in my opinion.
So, as a squad member, or if you sometimes take the lead, how would you push that, the big ATC then? How would you do that?
We did it not on the last stream, but on a stream before. And I placed one of my teammates, Jürgen, I placed him in the bottom. And I told him to just hold down the bottom in case somebody rushes in. I then took a play guy with me and also told him, you can rewatch the stream mod if you want to see it. I told him to keep distance from me, but always watch up. So I always had him watch up and keep distance from me while I cleared the usual heights where people would be sitting. And he would hold, because that building has so many angles, and you can, if you're sitting on top of the staircase, you can aim down from the right side through some small cracks. So I always had him aim up to cover those cracks when I made my way slowly upstairs, clearing the angles, the rooms. But it's so in-depth. I closed the doors on my way up to just, you know, first clear the hallway and then start clearing the room separately. While he always is behind me aiming up, making sure nobody is going to shoot me from the top, but also keeps distance from me because in case I do encounter somebody, I have to rush downstairs again.
Yeah, so you've got that way of just like popping into view and then popping out so no one's actually pushing you through the door sort of thing.
Exactly. Right. And then once you get on the first floor, you have a room straight across of you and a room to your left. I usually always close the door on the left room and then just focus on the room in front of me. And then once I'm kind of sure nobody's in there, I'm going to start focusing back on clearing the staircase first, because you always want to have that entire staircase clear. And then you go into the rooms one by one.
Would you use the external ladder?
I've done in the past, of course. Of course, if the place, if it allows it, I will always use the external ladder. If you have somebody trapped in the middle hallway, I have my teammates push from the bottom while I myself will climb the ladder and push from the top and just get full control of the building.
And the last question on the ATC for me is have you used the Karma Crew exclusive tear gas yet?
Oh yeah, multiple times. So multiple times.
Andy, I don't know if you know about it.
I don't. Tell me.
So it's like a smoke grenade. You throw it, it makes your opponent cough, so it gives away their position, but it doesn't actually do anything to them, so they think they're getting poxed, and they're not, and they run out, and then that's you, like, Abby Dave. Yeah.
There's no way to tell the difference.
There is, because you won't be getting cut, or it's a white smoke, but they start coughing like it, and then, because it's a new mod, it's getting people scared, isn't it?
That's fucking brilliant.
Well, it's even worse than that. You cannot ADS, and you get blurry vision, and you cannot sprint while being in the gas. It's a good thing to not only lure people, but what we've done last time we've cleared the ATC, I've used them to throw them into the upstairs window just to see where my opponent is sitting, because that smoke covers a lot of room and a lot of floor. So if you're not sure where somebody's sitting, you can use it to have people cough and give away their position. At the same time, they will have blurry vision. They can't run. They can't leave. But because the radius is so high, you will also yourself start coughing at the same time.
Yeah. How are you finding Altera at the moment? But I tell you what
is everywhere.
No. What is your favorite map, and how does it compare to Altera? Because you've been playing a lot of Altera recently.
Right now, at this very moment, Altera is my favorite map. That's why I'm playing it so much. But I will always have Chinara's on number one spot. And then I would put Altaria on second. Wow. Then I would put Nemelsk on third and Essekar on fourth. I just love Altaria so much because it's such a great map for sniping, man. You have so many rotations on the map. You have these small hills you can rotate around. You have lots of rocks. There's always, for you, a way to get to cover. And it's just so clean sniping place. You can see people from far. You have long range snipes. You have CQB fights in the militaries. You have rotations and small flanks you can do well on other maps. This is not possible. There's just not enough environmental stuff in the area for you to do these kind of plays. That's why I love Altaria so much right now. It's a perfect sniping map.
John McClane's great at that. He's at the terrain building, isn't he? And like, if you think, and I don't know Altaria anywhere near as much as Dave does, but there's a point by the airfield, it's by the runway, where there's just hit this hill, massive hill, runs alongside the airway, what's it called? The runway.
Yeah.
With like all the rocks and bushes and shit like that. And yeah, if you were a sniper in there, you could see almost everybody in the whole, or you can see almost the whole airfield there. And that's a dangerous position to be in if you're up there.
I mean, I love it.
A lot of your videos are based off of sniping. So
exactly,
that's your forte. Makes sense.
But so, it helps you spot people, because you're going to start trying to find people behind rocks, even if they're not there. Yeah. And you're going to eventually know how that pixel behind the rock looks.
So you obviously started off, like everybody, a not so good DayZ player. How did you hone your skills and get a lot better at PvP?
I watched Toprak and Jaycon.
Lots
of Toprak and Jaycon.
I think I've watched almost every single Toprak video so far.
Yes,
and I am still dog shit. So come on, there must be something else.
Yeah, there must be a certain drug you take.
I'm not sure what drugs I take sometimes, but <You're not sure. laughs> I've always been, no matter what game I've played, I've always been trying to play it kind of competitively. I was always trying to gain, to be better. So when I played Call of Duty, I was trying to be really good. When I played CSGO, I tried to rank up. Same in Rainbow Six Siege, same as Apex. So every game I touch, I don't know, I have that natural urge to just be good at the game. And, you know, so when I started getting DayZ, in the beginning, you can imagine how badly I was. And for the first 100 hours, I was still Dark Poo Poo. Even in the first 1,000 hours, I was still Dark Poo Poo, but I kept watching Toprak, I kept watching Miner, Jaycon, I kept looking, what, how are they playing, what are they doing? Toprak is obviously a smart guy with the explosives, while Jaycon is a player that would always flank around to smaller flanks, be tactical and so on. And I've mixed that into it, and then I've put a little bit of my own play style in there, which is aggressive gameplay, and... Here's who I am after a few years.
And obviously your pre-podcast training on V++.
Dude, that's good that you say it, because I would have forgot about it. Deathmatch is great. Is such a great trainer for just getting a feel for your guns and how much recoil does the AK have. How far can this blade shoot before the bullet will hit too low? It's obviously not how a real PvP scenario is going to turn out, but you're training your aim, and at the same time, you're getting use for the guns. So, for example, in CSGO, you would learn the spray patterns with the AK, and in DayZ, you would learn the recoils of the guns and how far they would shoot. So, deathmatch, I always recommend playing 50 minutes of deathmatch a day if you're trying to get better.
Ah, Dr. Geek has now prescribed 50 minutes of deathmatches a day.
always. But be in for some mental health problems if you do.
Yeah, maybe need some new keyboards, a spare keyboard and mice.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, before the podcast, I almost broke mine, so, and here I am laughing.
Not typing away, just laughing.
Yeah, Jake, do you remember Jake? He's fucking shit hot at PvP as well. A guy that used to play with. And he got me playing CSGO for a bit, and he was like, right, here's how you learn all the spray patterns, and just like firing it at a wall and seeing what the AK does. And goes, right, the AK always does this pattern, right, that kind of stuff. And it is just training that. It's like, right, I know that after X amount of bullets, it's going to drift to the left, then drift to the right, etc. Do you know what I mean? And it's keeping that. It's learning that, isn't it? And they're doing the same with DayZ. It might feel, well, it is an extreme sandbox game, but there are some rules that it itself lives by, and some things just don't change, like the recoil patterns.
It's muscle memory. I know how high I need to move Winchester. I don't need to range in my scope. It's just muscle memory. I built muscle memory mainly through V++. I get on a map like Northeast Airfield, huge open field. You get a spawn up somewhere where you're a bit further away. I'm going to try to build up some muscle memory and see how high I need to aim that Winchester. And if you do it every day, you're just going to have it in your head. And when you then finally spot somebody in game, you're just going to exactly know how far you need to aim up. It's just, you're trying to build muscle memory, which is important, because in a gunfight you will not be thinking, right? In the middle of a spraying, or when you do need to snipe somebody, a quickscope somebody, you don't have time to think, you just have to do it, and that's where you need the muscle memory.
We all know, like we've been talking about, you're good at PvP and you are PvP on orientated. So what servers, top three servers, are you playing at this particular time?
I play, obviously, Karma Crew, basically vanilla, and sadly a server that isn't so populated anymore was DayZ Origins.
Forgot about that server.
Yeah, we played that for a bit, didn't we, Andy?
Yeah, we did. And then we kept getting fucked up, so we stopped playing it.
So we would have got fucked up on other servers.
It was a tough service because there's lots of big groups on there. So yeah. I do understand. We even struggled, and that's why we clicked.
Basically, vanilla's actually a real good one, actually. I've got that on our little list, Andy, haven't we, of servers that were in the Discords. And that come out of nowhere, really. Like, just got so popular fast, like Northman as well, that got popular fast.
I can highly recommend basically vanilla. It's a very PvP oriented server, so there's really sweaty people, but I love it, man. It was just, you have that mixture of vanilla with some very comfortable stuff like auto run and unlimited stam, and but you're still keeping the vanilla damage system and so on. So it's a great server to play.
What are your thoughts on servers with traders?
I hate traders.
Okay, let's move on.
So, we like this guy.
Yeah, you can stay.
You can stay, yes.
I always tell it. I mean, I get lots of server requests from server owners wanting me to try out their servers. And as soon as I see a trader, I'm out. I massively dislike it. I don't have any joy in trader servers.
We've never been a fan, have we, Dave, really? Yeah, we openly
servers are out. We found one that didn't have a server that was a trader that was quite a good server. And it also had a map. So that's how we were teaching one of our friends to play. But apart from that, we try and stay away from them. Like them trader servers.
Same. I'm not touching them usually, unless you force me.
No one's forcing you to do anything, Geek. It wasn't me, all right? It was him.
You know, sometimes you have Cairo putting a gun against your head and be like, we played Titan today. Yeah. And then you're like, okay, all right, we do it. And then I'm sitting there like, I have this gun. What is this? This is a big gun. What does it do? Does it one tap? What is this body armor? Is it good? Oh, I found this body armor. Is it better than my current one? That's me when I'm playing on a modded server. Man, I have no clue what's going on.
The worst one is when you play a modded server and then you go, oh, man, I got a Winchester, and someone just laughs. You're not killing anyone with that, and you're like, what?
Oh my god, yeah. And then they run around with fully automatic 308 guns, and you see them spraying the enemy, and they take like 10 bullets to die. I'm just like, well, you just sprayed somebody with 10 bullets of 308 and he didn't die. What are we playing? If 308 doesn't kill you in 10 bullets, what will?
Exactly.
408.
408, yeah, 408.
You need this 408 fucking automatic.
We have 20 different types of 408, man. There's like big 408, small 408. It's just so many mods on the server, and I'm always just asking, guys, you know, as a person that plays this game basically since it came out, man, always me asking, is this ammo good or this body armor good, makes me feel so stupidly. Takes all my confidence away, and this is also another key point for PvP.
Friendly!
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
We had a few questions come in through the Discord.
Oh yeah, well, one of them's a full podcast.
Like Golden Rex put in about 200 questions. I think
absolute
we'll probably pick
legend.
We'll pick one or two of them. And I like the one from, was it Oysted put one in?
Yeah, Oysted, yeah.
Yeah, Oysted put one in. We will do that one too. So I'll tell you what, I'll do Oysted's one first. If DayZ wasn't a game, what game would you play/make content for? And would you even make content for it if it wasn't DayZ, I guess?
Very good question. I don't know if I would have ever become a YouTuber if it wasn't for DayZ. Most games I've played in the past that I've grinded, which were Rainbow Six Siege, CSGO, and Apex Legends. Mm. I loved playing competitively, so on a higher rank base, but I didn't really have the urge to create content in them. So I don't think I would have actually become a YouTuber if it wasn't for DayZ.
Okay.
And also, quickly, sorry. It took me... So I started playing DayZ in 2016, and it wasn't until 2019 I would actually then make my first YouTube video.
Oh, nice. So on that note, one of the questions from Golden Rex is, how much time on average do you spend like editing and filming videos? Obviously, the filming is the easiest bit, clearly, the recording of your gameplay.
That is definitely the easiest. It's just, let's say I have one decent stream, I can definitely turn it into a video with PvP. If we say I make a normal PvP video, so not many narrations or cinematics and that, not really much storyline, but just take the PvP and turn it into a 10-15 minute video, I'll say I'll spend 2 hours on it probably.
But it's good reward though, isn't it? You know, when there was another one that brings me to it. It's just like, what are some of the pressures you feel when posting a YouTube video? Do you get any pressures?
Oh, yeah. I'm never sure if I chose the correct title. I'm sitting here refreshing the video. Is the video doing good? Maybe I chose the wrong title. Maybe the title isn't good enough or not catchy enough. It puts me so under pressure that I, even a day after the video is uploaded, I'll change the title, you know, because I don't like that this title is better, you know, and that's actually a big pressure I do have.
I think that's like completely okay to do though, because you need to be happy with your own work. I did something today with a video I put out. I made a thumbnail for it and I thought, actually, do you know what? Those two words are a little too close to each other. I just remade it. Took me 5 minutes, bang, much happier with it. I just knew that if I saw that again tomorrow, I'm still going to think the same. So just fix it now. You know, it's not a bad thing at all.
Yeah, but I'll postpone videos 1 or 2 days if I'm not happy with my title. I'll just sit here in the shower, thinking about my new title before I go to sleep. I'm like, how can I name this video? God damn it. Think of a title, geek. You know, because it's not always easy getting a title for just a pure PvP video. If you have a story, you obviously have a title almost automatically. But if you just upload, like me, a PvP video, it doesn't really have much of a story. It's not that easy to get a good catchy title.
Yeah, like hitting the algorithms, you know, like some of the titles go crazy, you know, like when you know, the cartel, that word cartel's used quite a bit, isn't it? Like when I was in
cartel ages. I feel like that one's dead.
Or you destroyed the server. Is that another good one?
Oh, hang on a minute. I saw one that Geek did a little while ago. It was something about clearing a server, was it? Hang on.
Oh, God. That sounds like a geek title. That's probably something I would use when I have no idea what I do. You know? What can you think? It's been 3 days. You couldn't think of a title. What do we do? 6,000 hour marksman demolishes everybody on a story. That's what I come up with.
That's a flex. That one's a flex. That's a flex, not snobbery. That one is definitely a flex. When you do the ones like this is a new map and Sniper Heaven, I mean, that was a great video, by the way. But that sort of stuff, so you hit that algorithm, because Altaria is the in content at the moment, so you need to make sure people see that.
But it's also meta. New maps always matter to make videos from, just as, like we said, keywords, marksman always does good, Zolo sniper always does great. My God, if you want views, Zolo ghillie videos, and just name it the Zolo ghillie marksman or sniper, always does well with a good thumbnail. So there's always certain things you can do, and it's just with Altaria, it's a new map and new people love to watch new maps. It's new content.
Dave, to be fair, you
go on.
Yes.
Go on.
No, I was going to say, you do have a plethora of different types of thumbnails you use. I can see there's like AI-generated ones to like ones that are in-game, like screenshots that have been edited, mm-hmm. like excellent. So you do use like a plethora. So what software do you use for this?
Oh, I don't do my thumbnails. My teammate, PlayGuy, does them for me.
PlayGuy?
PlayGuy is a graphic designer, and he does all my thumbnails. And well, recently DayZ editor was broken, so we switched to normal thumbnails. But we always have a mixture between AI thumbnails and normal DayZ thumbnails to see what does better currently. And his AI thumbnails, he even puts a lot of work into, because AI makes a lot of mistakes, and usually he will generate a character and a different background and we'll fix the issues. And he does so much in the editing process that I cannot even tell you. If this guy has one shadow off, he's going to rerun it a whole picture.
I know someone that does that.
Fuck off.
Okay.
Do you remember what I was going to say? Do you remember the video that you put out on how to breach or attack the fucking jail building, the camo?
Yes.
Camo.
Yes.
Do you, now going back to Dave, do you remember when we put that into practice?
Yes, VMC.
At VMC?
On DayZ Origins, I think.
I can't remember the fucking server. But basically, in that video, you showed a little peaky point where you could get up. Do you have to get up on... No, no,
you can jump
on the container.
You
went
in the container, yeah?
Oh, I did that. Got the headshot. I was so happy that I'd watched
that
your video.
That one in the container is a classic, man. I think Miner showed me that in the alpha already. That small gap in the container. Yeah. Was a thing.
That's incredible. I was so happy. I was like, Dave, this fucking video is sick. I think actually, didn't we make it a video of the week back when we got that to work?
I think so.
It might have been, you know.
I think the postal service in Germany is not so good, because we obviously sent the award out.
I think I asked you in the comments, this is like over a year ago now, I asked you to do one for Devil's Castle and you said it's not possible.
It's not possible to push Devil's Castle. It's if you have any decent player, and let's say old Devil's Castle, because they fucking reworked the castle on the inside, made it even worse now, you would just sit on the almost on the very top, looking down at that small crack. There's nothing that the enemy can do.
It's just
over. Now you have tear gas. So the basically the only thing to do with it is tear gas the whole castle, but not tear gas, pox gas. And if you have any decent player, no, you just position him on the top, and that's it. That's GG. It's over. There's nothing you can do. There's no windows to snipe him. You can try to peek him, but he's always going to see you first, and he's going to see your head always from the top. So put any player in there that knows how to shoot, you're gonna lose. You can be top rack and you're gonna lose.
Crazy. Well, anyway, it all just sprung to mind when I saw that. I was like, oh my god, I remembered that. But
we do like we said, you've been on our list to get on to interview for some time now because of this tactical play and your PvP skills, and we're well happy that you accepted.
Of course, man, I love podcasts.
That's the right answer. That's the right answer, Geek.
Oh my god, all the right answers today. I'm so good at this, right?
I'm good at this quiz.
Oh dear. Right. What do you want to cover off now, Dave? Because all of my points we've kind of covered off whilst we've just genuinely been talking rather than as a specific thing. So
yeah, I think so. I think that's it. Yeah. I mean, we've done one question or two questions, we've asked our own questions, we're pretty much moving on to the tip for Daisy players and the video.
Geek, is there anything that you want to cover off before we get onto that side of it that will go in the main bulk?
Oh, there's lots of things to cover off with tactical gameplays, but I think that might need a separate episode, so I think we could continue. It's so much in-depth things that just, you know, that happen naturally without me really realizing. There's like small plays I do and small things we do that are very tactical, but always kind of people don't really realize because we do make it look a bit easy. But the PvP is very in-depth in this game, so this would have been a whole different episode then.
I mean, like that video I was just talking about where you push in the jail camo building. You talk about, right, I'm going to aim at this point in case he's lying down, and then I'm going to run up the stair and run around again. Like that kind of thing. Like you talk about step by step what you're doing and why you're doing it. And for someone like me who's fairly average in PvP, hearing that from that explanation, I can watch, like I said, I can watch Tope videos all day long. It won't make me a better player, but understanding why you do what you do, that was so helpful. Like I said, it got me that kill, and I was so chuffed to have that information from what I considered an extremely good PvPer, you know?
Making me blush again, man, you know? No, but that's exactly what I mean. You see, you watch a stream, you see Tope or me go into jail, we pre-aim our corners, you won't think much of it. We kill a guy and they're like, oh, he killed a guy in there, you know? But there's so much small detailed steps we do. I mean, we've died a million times in that building. I've died a million times in that building, so I know which angles the guy will shoot me from because I've died from those angles. So
yeah,
it's just small micro stuff that does help us get a mini advantage in a situation that, for example, in jail is most of the time the camper will win.
Yeah, I mean, I see you and Tope push buildings, and you obviously every single building you do the way you do, but do you ever like have a lapse in concentration and don't push it the same way as what you normally would? And then only you have noticed that. And do you get annoyed at yourself for not, like, why the fuck? Do it the same way as you normally do it. Like, you're like, I didn't check that angle. Do you normally do that? Do you get annoyed at yourself when you don't?
Happens all the time, man. And even happens to the best. Happened to Tope on our last stream. He always clears these old, the long barracks. He always clears them. And this one time in our last stream, he didn't clear it. He just opened the door and got immediately sprayed down. And he kept kept complaining, like, I always clear this house, and this time I didn't even think about it. You know, I was just minding my business. It just happens. You get off concentrated or something going on in the background. You just can always happen, and that's when you usually get DayZed. That's when usually somebody is then finally in one of those houses. Generally, those houses like prison, I will always clear with concentration because I always think somebody's going to be in there. So I will never just run cluelessly into the jail and not look left and right.
One last question from me. Are you in a room where someone else is playing a game?
Yes, can you not tell? My brother absolutely demolishing his keyboard in the background.
What's he playing? He sounds like he's having a fucking awesome time.
Feels like he's slaying. He's absolutely slaying.
I am so sorry about it, but he's playing Fortnite in the background. Fuck. And the building stuff and... man.
Has he got fucking clicky blues or something?
I wish my parents would have gotten him like brown or red switches. I'm super sorry.
No, it's been absolutely fine. I just thought it happened quite a lot then. I was like, that guy is having the time of his life. He's either stressing the fuck out or absolutely kicking ass.
He is for a fucking nuts. So I like, you know, Fortnite is a game I'll never touch too much.
Oh, he's building. Is that what them are? They're building.
That's why he's going nuts in the background. You know, he's building.
Frantic building.
Dude's so fucking goated at Fortnite. It's nuts.
Yeah, is he good? Is he good?
He's really good. I got to tell him that.
Oh, it's in the blood. Yeah, don't know. Say it in English. Does he speak English?
He understood. He's happy in the background.
Oh, okay, good.
He's happy in the background. Nodding of approval.
Who's that?
Young FPS for the first time got a got a compliment from me.
Young FPS, I like that. Friendly.
All right, video of the week it is then.
Yeah, I'll do this like weird little thing first. Andy will let us know when he's recording and I'll do it.
I'm always recording.
All right, so I'll do it. Video of the week.
echo.
Oh, no.
So, I may be a content creator, but I am a huge fanboy, if you couldn't know. So video of the week will be Toprak's last video that he's uploaded yesterday, I think it was, or today even. And it's called How a Zolo Veteran Plays DayZ. It's a pretty long video, 32 minutes, and it has everything. It has action. He wipes out quads left and right. But the mission basically is to get the NBC gear and explore the gas zone on Altaria. And he does it solo and runs into four-man groups, duos, everything. Has only a shotgun and whatever's in his path gets destroyed. It is such a great video. And I had a different video actually planned from him that I would recommend today. But I've watched that video today before the podcast while eating. And I was like, this is it. This video is absolute top notch. So I can highly recommend.
I mean, by now in Tope's new house, he's actually got a massive cabinet with all the video of the week trophies. So hopefully he doesn't send us a bill for the second one as well. So I recommend him so many times.
Listen, I'm a huge fanboy. I love his videos. I don't watch DayZ videos, I'm going to be honest. I rarely do. But whenever Tope uploads, I'm watching.
So what did it feel like when you first got to play with him after being such a fanboy?
How did that happen? How did that come about?
It was so random. So Jaycon72, which I am probably a bigger fanboy even off. I was always in the streams and so on, and he eventually made me moderator, and then eventually I joined him, and he's like, yo Geek, you might have Tope joints? And I'm like, you know, I was pretty young and didn't do YouTube at the time, and I was like, Tope? Yeah, of course he can join. And then here I was as a non-creator playing with Toprak and Jaycon72, and I was shy. I wasn't talking much. I was also not as I was a bit high pitched and
squeaky.
I was squeak FPS.
I was young FPS, okay?
Squeak FPS. And
I was barely talking. I was sometimes stuttering, and but yeah, it was unforgettable, man. Playing with my two idols.
That's insane.
Remember when I ran into Sour Sweet, Andy? That was a good one.
Yeah.
That was when I ran into that old massive fanboy of Sour, and I ran into him, and he was in a, we were in a PvP situation, and I was eating rice in a bush. So loud. When you eat it, basically. He's like, what are you doing? I was like,
that's a tactic that Geek is not going to recommend. Like, if you're in a PvP situation, don't give a shit if you're on Red Hungry, bro. Like, don't sit and eat rice in a bush.
Listen, pop a morphine and rush the enemy, man.
Do or die.
But no, I do recommend eating in PvP situation. Last thing you want to do is actually have red food and then getting shot to red blinking health. You're going to die immediately. So at least keep all your nutrition always so you don't lose health.
Keep them white, Andy. Isn't that right?
Demonetized, huh?
D something. Cancelled.
Yes, cancelled. Going on Twitter right now. Yo, listen, guys.
Geek's taken over.
Hello. Just the tip, Geek. Guess your tip, what you got for us. As a man of extreme skill, as we have covered, I'm sure you can offer our listeners a small little snippet of your, well, of what you got to make us better.
Of course, be aggressive and take some risks. So you will always see me try to get on something. I will always, if it's a small stone, I will try to stay on it. I will always try to get some height and be aggressive and see over the grass. So don't be afraid to make some risky plays.
Risk it.
It's going to catch your enemy off guard.
Risk it for a biscuit.
Climb the ATC. You know, who's gonna expect that? If there is a crane next to the construction site, climb the crane if somebody's camping on the construction site. I did it in the video.
You're just looking for easy kills. You're just trying to get us all to get into vulnerable positions so you can snipe us. No.
So I had that one video where somebody was camping on Zero Essiker on top of the construction site that's on the airfield. So it was a huge construction.
Yeah.
There was a chimney tower. That was the only building higher than that construction, and he was camping on the roof. I tried to climb that chimney tower. Don't be afraid. Do risky plays. It didn't work out for me, but don't be afraid.
Oh, okay. Oh, I like it. Be aggressive.
Yeah. What can you lose? You know, just learn from the experience every time.
Exactly. Like I said, I died a million times in jail to make a video for you on how to clear it.
Yes, that we won't forget.
Friendly? Well, thank you very much, Geek. We highly appreciate you coming. And I think, actually, we might have to hit you up on your promise to do a whole separate episode on tactical gameplay.
No worries, man. I come back tomorrow, 8 o'clock, yeah?
Yeah, deal.
Oh, man.
No worries, man. I love talking, so I will always join you guys whenever you want me on the episode, man. It was so much fun, and even though we've never really talked, I like the chemistry, right? We can laugh straight away, do jokes, and it's no shy moments, you know, or no like weird moments that you would have with random people, you know, where there's some awkward quietness. And you guys are handling this very professionally, and I like how you're always, when nobody, you know, is currently saying something, and come up with the next topic. So you guys are doing a great job here in the podcast.
You're making me blush now.
He said we were professional. I mean, like, you could be the first person that said that. We will take it.
Listen, I know how tough it is to keep this awkward quietness away when nobody's talking, and both of you did a great job stepping in and always talking, always keeping the conversation going and keeping minimal quietness. This is very great, very good podcast. I love it.
Oh, but like we talked about in squads and that, me and Andy have known each other since primary school. So
too long.
We're trying to cut each other's ties, and we just can't.
Oh, dude, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for doing what you've done for us today. And we look forward to all of the new content you're going to be putting up from Alteria. And look, you've not done another how-to push video for a little while, right? You did the L-shape. We're going to need something else from you.
Yeah, I was kind of unhappy how I make them. They're so long. And what I had in mind is I would do like, I thought it's going to be like quick 3-minute videos. But like I said, I love talking. And then in the end, out of a 3-minute video, we have a 17-minute video on how to clear the fucking L-shape. You know,
that's my next thing I was going to bring. That big apartment building, the new one on Alteria, with the external stairs. that, you know, that'll be the next vehicle.
Fuck off, man.
19 floors of the same.
I don't clear that. I just go in. If somebody shoots me, they shoot me. I shoot back, you know. I put in the coin, I gamble. But I will not go clearing all the floors gone up. I'm just going to run upstairs.
How many rooms in that place? There must be about 1,000 rooms.
All the rooms. And they all look the same. There's no textures in it. There's just no toilets. It's just empty rooms. They all look the same. And it's in my head, man. I'm telling you, that house is so ugly, bro.
Oh, it is. But it's good sniping position, though.
I hate people. If I ever see you in there, you're going to be my enemy, man.
Oh, you won't catch us in there. We need to get there first.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Dude. All right, then. Well, should we leave it there?
Yeah, definitely, man. That was excellent.
Leave it on a high. Yep. Thank you very much, dude. You have a good evening. I know it's getting a bit late for you. What you did? Are you playing DayZ later tonight, or are you done for the day?
No, probably not. I'll jump into my Discord and see what the others are doing, and maybe we'll do something. Maybe we do some more V++, and I go to bed very angry.
Sleep it off, dude. You'll be fine.
Usually not. All right, guys. Thank you for having me, man. It was absolutely amazing. And wish you, of course, a very good night.
Thanks, Geek. Have a good one, man.
All right, guys. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye. Oi. Oh.
Now, that was good. Apart from, obviously, the tapping away.
No, that was good. Apart from the Fortnite. Whoever thought we'd mention Fortnite on this podcast?
Oh, no, mad. Fortnite, yeah. Oh, but he was giving his brother a good shout-out, unlike you never give your brother a good shout-out, old bloodthirsty Mark.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe it's a different culture, right?
Yeah, Germans and Italians, very different culture.
Yeah, they're just like, hey, fuck that guy.
fuck that guy.
Hey, fuck you.
Fuck that guy.
Oh, but in all seriousness, Geek, what a legend. Thank you so much for having that interview with us. He's always been on the list for us of someone who's just shit hot at PvP and has kind of come out of nowhere really with it, hasn't he? He's been around for only a few years. A lot of people have been around for a lot longer than that, and he just kind of has made a name for himself from just being at next level, isn't he?
And we all heard how he's done it. So what he's done, he's sort of based himself on the content creators he was watching, like Jack On and Hope. And essentially, he is the best of both worlds. He has taken the tactical play of Jack On to the extremely great shots of Tope Rec, like the flick shots. So it can be done.
I've based myself on interactions like with TRMZ and the PvP style of Mr. Blobby.
Yeah, and I've also, the Hamburglar is where I'm going for the loot.
Oh, yeah, the loot goblin for the Hamburglar.
Yeah, the Hamburglar, yeah.
Or the
That's
cookie
how
monster.
I base myself. You're the like, cookie cookies. Monster. Cookie, 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 you are dead screen. Yeah, I know.
Oh, dear. Yeah, well, I think, you know, maybe we're going to have to kind of figure out another episode for Geek, because he does have a wealth of knowledge for us that we can kind of dish out on this medium, on this silly little thing we call a podcast. We can maybe come up with some scenarios or watch some of his plays.
And he's just so natural as well, you know, like talking to us there. We've never even spoken to either, apart from a couple of messages on Discord, and it was just so easy going.
Just a legend, mate. Another legend. And that's what DayZ breeds, mate. All just surrounded by people like Geek. That's just genuine nice people, you know?
Yeah, you know, I would like to see, you know, like some of these games. Maybe I've killed him. That is definitely not. I don't think I would even be in the same, like, bubble as him. I would be fucking dead.
What do we do now? Yeah, check him out. We didn't get him to plug himself.
Oh, he didn't. He didn't plug himself. Also, well, I think we've done a lot.
That's a
of
weird phrase, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a terrible phrase, like just a tip and these nuts. But yeah, check him out. He does, like we said, he does a lot of the tutorial videos. So if you want to know how to push the camo building, check it out, the jail building. He done a lot of them for the sort of Chinaris base game
genuinely
buildings.
I'm just going to stop right there. I think he did two.
Yeah, it's fine.
There's a lot more than we ever did.
There's a lot more than I've done.
But yeah, check him out. Check his videos out on YouTube, Geek FPS. Check him out on Twitter, on live on Twitch. He's just a good dude, man. He's just a good dude.
Yeah, yeah. All-round nice guy, great PvP, and the leader of a squad. The leader of the gang.
We're going to need to implement something like that. I think next time we play as a squad, we're going to need to really have a sit-down and be like, right, we're all cool, fun and games. We're all here to play a game. It's all fun. Lovely. However...
Shut the fuck up, Mark. I'm joking.
I mean, we're gonna need to figure something out.
Wes, if you get shot and fucking log out, let us know before we get a PvP, because we don't want to be manned down.
Who's that guy? Oh, that's just Wes. No, wait, why is he aiming his gun at us? Wait!
Wes!
Well, let's sign off there. Thank you very much for listening to yet another episode of Friendly A Daisy Podcast. Again, I can't remember what episode this is. 70?
70.
70 what?
Two
what?
Nah, 70.
Episode 70. Geek FPS. 70. And I'm not calling it whatever you fucking said it was. Would you say squabbles or squaddies or something?
Wobbles or squibblets. Squibblets and giblets.
Oh, fuck's sake. Right, let's leave it there until next week.
He's been geek.
I've not been geek.
No, I wasn't talking about you.
You're a freaking nerd.
You're a eunuch.
Oh, excellent. I've been Andy.
And I've been Dave. Ciao for now.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.